For your name is great. For the name of Yahweh is a strong tower in the time of trouble. It is the only name given unto man under the Shemayim, whereby you find the Yahshua, the assurance of salvation, the promise of hope, a lively and living word that is brought alive by the witness and the testimony, the works of Yahshua HaMashiach. So as we gather this Shabbat in the tabernacle, the beit of Yahweh, we assemble ourselves to greet you and to bless you. We assemble ourselves free of all burdens, every care, everything and responsibility that cause us to negate the commands and the instructions of the Shabbat of our great King. So as we assemble here today, we ask you in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach to pour down your mighty anointing, that every heart will be touched today, that the word may be a lively oracle, that it may fill the emptiness of the hearts. Those that are gathered here, those that will hear this message in whatever form they hear it, we pray that you open up their understanding, that they will be able to discern the time that we are in, the purpose of our Abba, the calling of our precious Creator, that we may oblige Him in everything that He commands us to do. We ask you to help us today, to strengthen us, to cause us to hear, as we submit ourselves unto you, to receive, to acknowledge what you speak unto the house of Israel today. We thank you, Yahweh. We bless you, our Abba, by love and the love of the true seed of Israel. Delights in your instructions, your commands, your Torah, what you instruct us to do. We take great appreciation that you have called us. You have established us by the power of your Ruah to do all things that please you. So bless us today, that we may walk in the fullness of your understanding, that the heart will be delighted and rejoice in the hearing of the truth, that the mind will be at shalom, because one knows that he or she has heard from the thrones of our Abba, and it caused the heart to be full with great expectation, with great strength, with great fortitude and vitality, that we may thrust on into this pathway and walk it with great urgency and great diligence, with great purpose, hope. For we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that our Abba is great. And we thank you, Yahweh. We bless you for our precious brothers and sisters, those that have contacted us, those that listen quite frequently. Bless them today and strengthen them. We do want to acknowledge men like Pastor Babu there in India, under such great oppression, every kind of religious, idolatrous, vile, evil thing there is. I pray you give him strength in his body, his wife, the children, as you do with Elder Martin there in Kenya. A time of great drought, death all around them, cattle are dying, very little water your way. Yet when they hear the refreshing of the word of Yahweh, it caused the heart to rejoice greatly. I do want to pray for the young sister that contacted us there in Ghana, a refugee camp in Ghana, and how the great pains as she talked to them, the raping of the women, the killing of the men, very few men left. The man has become so precious, as scripture says, as the gold of Ophrah. I pray for Sister Betty that you touch her and help her today as she maneuvers the website to hear, to listen. Give her strength, I pray. Help her, I pray, Yahweh, as she labors every day for a few pennies, simply to have bread for her father and mother. Both were killed, yet she must labor to make enough to have bread for that day, if it's enough. So I pray for her and all of those that are in nations and countries whereby great oppression, governments that suppress, totalitarianism in governments that suppresses the poor. You said that you will bless those that bless the poor, Yahweh. I pray for them, our precious brothers, our precious sisters, the seed of righteousness that cry out more deliberately than a people in this nation that is so succumbed by the riches or perceived riches of things, a material gluttonous. Yet they have no fervor, no great love and desire for truth, Yahweh. So I pray for them, and I pray with great sincerity. You touch them all and strengthen them mightily, that they may rise up as the morning sun, that the brightness of the hope of HaMashiach will shine forth in them mightily, even in the midst of all of that debacle and death. As you pray, you strengthen them and help them. As you cause your people in what we perceive as industrialized nations, tech-savvy nations, they will try the very spirits of their own heart to see whether they be in the true emunah of Yahweh, or if they are walking by some imagination, evil thoughts, corrupt ideas, perverted intuition, whether they are being led by the power of your Ruah. Heal everybody. Touch everyone that is listening today. Strengthen every heart. Cause everyone to rejoice and to delight in the hearing of your precious word. We ask it all in the mighty name of HaMashiach. We pray your blessing upon your people here and around the world. In the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel, we bless you and we shabak you. And all the traditions cried, hallelujah way. Hallelujah way.
Hallelujah way.
Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands and shabak him. Come on and lift your hands and shout, hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Hallelujah way.
And they sing the song of the Lamb.
receive that tone again, every heart. To bring the offering of thanksgiving. And so we thank you, our precious Abba. We bless you for all that you have done on the past 6 days. As we have fallen into depravity and a willingness to sin against you, to transgress your Torah. The power of your living word has not been the inspiration, nor the strength of our love. But we have been strengthened by our own cloak of wickedness and unrighteousness. So as we come this day, I desire to lift up clean hands with an offering of thanks and thanksgivings unto you. I delight in you in the inward parts of my being. So we pray today that as your modern servant speaks, that the words will be uttered by the Ruah, not with pretense, not for his own purpose, not trying to appease a people, with the purpose that you may be honored, exalted, and lifted up, and that our confidence and our hope will totally and truly be in you. So we ask you to help us all today, to open our ears that we may hear, our love that we may receive and love what you speak, and our mind that we may hold fast to all that you speak unto us, that it may give us the strength that is necessary and needed in this end time of the latter days. We ask it all in HaMashiach, mighty name, and we bless you, Yahweh, for the promise in the manifest power and the living truth of your word in your Shua. We thank you for that. So bless us all today. May this worship be a blessing to your heart, that you may dwell here in the midst of us. For we are gathered in your name. We desire to please you. So bless this worship today and those that are gathering at this time throughout the nations of the world. We ask it in your Shua HaMashiach's mighty name. And we bless you in all the conditions, cried, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say unto them, Shalom Aleichem. May Yahweh bless you today. You may be seated. To greet delight to take great pleasure in the truth of our Yahweh, that we may know the purpose of His will for our lives, that we may understand all things that He has written for us to know. He has gone to great depths to make sure that the living power of His innate, His truth, is written in the heart of man, in the inward parts, that we will not allow the powers of darkness to steal, rob, kill, and to destroy the effectiveness of the power of Yahweh to work in our lives. Now, what we find today working in the lives of the people, it is a cloak of self-righteousness. It is an evilness in the earth today that surpasses all evils that have ever been upon the face of the earth. It is one that is sadistic. It is one that the author and the orchestrator of it is Shatan and the powers of darkness. And the mind of man is so depraved today, and I'm talking about this people. I want you to understand that today, because I will deal with this. And I will use that expression in the grammatics of the English vernacular in the form of an adverb to express to you that there is a specific people that Yahweh is dealing with. So there is an evil in the land today. It is a mind that is full of imaginations. And an imagination is something that is perverse, it is corrupt, it is orchestrated by depravity. Now you think of your own imaginations and what things you imagine. 99.9% of them are so vile, evil, and corrupt, and they are not instituted by the very mind of HaMashiach. And there is an evil in the land today that surpasses all evils that have come before the presence of Yahweh. Now, I know we think of evil as something, and that is a manifestation of evil, what we see in the nations of the world today, what we see in this nation, the depravity, the lewdness, the malice, the corruption. These are simply manifestations of the evil. Now, the evil is instituted because of an important factor that we reject because we cannot see and we're not willing to see what Scripture says. It's not an affection for Scripture. It is not a pure ahava love for Scripture. There is not a great passion to understand what Scripture says. There is not an energized personality or desire to really search. If you lose something in your home, if you do not find it in the few places that you thought it was, then you become very discouraged, don't you? What did I do with it? Until you began to search the whole house, you will not find it. And then you have to do more than one search as well. But Scripture tells us, as Yahweh deals with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda, that we understand that their separation came because of the depravity of Rehoboam, his wickedness, his defiance, because that was implanted in him by Solomon, his daddy. And we see the same things today taking place in our lives. The seed of Avat, what he has planted in the heart of his children, we see the power of that corruption manifested today. We're just like our forefathers. We murmur, we complain, we resist Yahweh, we reject what he says. And so Yahweh identifies not some people, but he identifies this people. He said, this people, not those people. That's how we think, don't we? It is always those, not this person. It is someone else, but not this person. Because we do not believe that Scripture indicts us and shows us the very vile nature of our own life. We don't believe that. It is always for those, but never this. So Yahweh deals with the this today. This person, this personality, this heart, this mind, this being. So he deals with the this. And he uses it in the form of an adverb because there's something specific that denotes what this is that follows. That is pretty good definition of adverb, isn't it? So that is what it does. So what follows this, it indicates what this is. So Yahweh speaks to us in a vernacular that is so simple. It is so plain. And because of our own arrogance and the haughtiness of our own pride and corruption, we cannot be taught. We cannot be instructed. I want him to instruct me. I want to be taught the oracles of Yahweh. And I want to understand them thoroughly. I want to understand the power, the strength. I want to know what fruit comes forth out of that understanding of Almighty Yahweh. And so that's what we need the mind of HaMashiach. I want to be God in Jeremiah. It says here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 10. I want to read what scripture says, and as Yahweh deals with this people. We are a people that will always, I want you to hear this, we will always accuse those of that one, will we not? But we will never see what this person has done. And it deals specifically with you. We will always make an excuse and to ask questions. Well, what about that one? We're dealing with this person. We're not dealing with that person. We're dealing with this one. And we don't deal with this one, do we? We don't deal with this. This issue in your own heart. Look at what he always says. Because I want to take my time. I'm going to thoroughly finish this message today. He says in Jeremiah 13:10, he says, this evil people, a people that the mind is demented, the character is corrupt, the facial expression has been hardened from hearing the word of Yahweh, there is no great passion in their heart for truth, and there's a reason why they are evil. He tells us and identifies a people that is evil. And what has caused them to become evil? The world is full of evil today. The people are evil. This people is evil. Why? He said, this raw people, first of all, which refuse. We're not a people that refuse, are we? We show our dislike. We show our adamant disposition against something that we don't lack or have the ability to discern. Now, I will show us later in scripture how ignorant and how sottish, how stupid this you are. When the beasts of the field understand Yahweh, something is wrong with us. He said, this raw people, this evil, sadistic, depraved, corrupt people, they refuse to shemak. They refuse now. When one refuses something, there's an unwillingness. You ever found yourself unwilling to do it? Because it has scarred your pride? He said, these people refuse. They refuse, they are unwilling. There is no willingness, there is no desire, there is no passion to do it. They refuse. We find it in your children today, your sons and your daughters, and your mothers and your daddies. You refuse to hear Yahweh. He said they refuse to shemak, to perceive, to understand. They refuse to discern, to have knowledge of what I speak to them. Now that's an evil people. That's a people that's evil. When a people is evil, there's only two indications in scripture whereby it uses that adverb and that verb, this evil. Only two places in scripture. Only two places is found. He said, this evil people, this raw people, You can tell that they are evil because they refuse to hear Shemach, my word. My word. My word. My word. My
word.
My
word.
You see, we are very lethargic. We're people that's full of drunkenness. We're full of drunkenness. We have drank so from the cup of corruption that our minds cannot even discern. We cannot hear what he said. Now, he did not speak a word. He spoke words unto them. He said, this is my people, and they refuse to hear my words. They refuse to hear my Torah. They refuse to accept my Tanakh. They refuse the words of my prophets and my seers. They refuse. They are unwilling. They reject that. They despise it. And that's this corrupt generation. And they wonder why their children are cursed. They wonder why their homes are so full of darkness. He says, an evil people. Because you refuse to Shemach my words. Why? Which walk in the imagination. Your stubbornness, your hardness, your inability to incline your heart to the word of Yahweh. You walk in your firmness and your perverted state. That's what the imagination is. It is not induced by hearing the word of Yahweh. Because when that mindset is established, by hearing the word of Yahweh, it does one thing. It does all things to please the Abba. Everything that it does, it pleases Yahweh. But an evil people refuse to hear the words of Yahweh. An evil people rejects what he says. An evil people hates it. And this is a nation of evil people. The white ones are evil and sadistic. The black ones are evil and corrupt. We can see the evilness of man throughout the world. They suppress. They oppress. They kill for the love of filthy lucres. We have a lustrous president of these United States. They reward the families with a little piece of metal. It was something that Napoleon said. He said, you can give a man a medal or a piece of metal, and it will inspire them to fight unto death. These are the evil, sadistic men that have shaped the world today. So they send the sons over to rob, to pillage, to kill a people for the loss of a nation like this nation. When Yahweh pours out his fury upon this wicked nation, because this is an evil nation, you refuse to hear Yahweh. You reject what he says, and you are unwilling to do what he says. There's no willingness there. Because if a man be willing, and if one is obedient, then that one shall eat the good of Yahweh. And because we're not willing, because we refuse to hear him, this nation refused to hear what he says. Well, what is the composition of his word? We must find out in scripture. There is no other place we can go. We cannot go to the philosophies of men. We cannot go to the intellectual properties of man. We must go to what scripture says, and it is not revealed. I want to tell us all that scripture is never revealed by our multitudes of assistants of books and literature. It's only revealed one way. And that is by the power of the living Ruah of Yahweh in a man. That's why we got such mess today. That's why we're in such a cauldron of mess today. Because men have took it upon themselves to reveal and translate. And it is the power of the Ruah that brings life and revelation to scripture. And it gives us the life and the power of that truth to live it. To obey it. To take great delight in it. He said this people is evil because they refuse. Listen now, you refuse to Shemach, to hear. Isn't it amazing, if I must use that superlative, how that we can hear every kind of innuendo? Come on and say hallelujah. We can hear every kind of filth and every kind of corrupt thing. You can hear that, can't you? But you refuse to hear the words of Yahweh. You can hear every lie. You can hear every kind of accusation. But when it comes to hearing the words of Yahweh, you have no affection. You have no desire. You have no inclination to give your heart over to that to discern what Yahweh speaks. And he speaks to this people because this people is evil. The first premonition of that people, they refuse. The first premonition of that people, they refuse. They refuse to shema. They refuse to discern that this is Yahweh speaking to me. Have you ever sit in the gathering of Yahweh and the words are actually indicting you and you reject that, you refuse to accept that judgment of you? You're evil. You are this evil people. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now we're going to drive this home to this people. I want to make sure I drive it home. He said that they walk in the imagination, the stubbornness, the hardness. And I'm quite sure you've never been stubborn. You've never been hardened. You've never been persistent in your stubbornness. So that's this people that, huh? They walk in the imagination of their own land, their own corrupt hearts. The issues of their vile, sadistic heart. Well, because he or she did that to me, I responded, no, it is your own vile, sadistic, corrupt heart. Period. It's not what someone else did. It's what you're doing to your way. Because you refuse to hear him. When the Ruah comes, if you have the Ruah, does it speak to you first? Does it reprove the world of your sins? Your imagination? The hardness and your stubbornness? This people. He says, and they walk after pagan gods or pagan traditions. They walk after the tradition of the Methodists and the Baptists. We walk after the African Americans' traditions. We walk after the white man's tradition. And there is only one way. And that is the way of Yahweh. The white man's way have led to death, pillaging, destruction, hell, and corruption. The black man's way leads to depravity and sensitivity. Their ways lead to the gates of darkness. That's why we must hear the word of Yahweh. How much you say, I am the way, the life, and the truth. So there is no other way. Let all the white man's way be damned unto bondage. And every black man's way, every black man's imagination. It is only Yahweh's way. I know that we don't want to confront those issues. Because you have to confront the whiteness in you. You have to confront the blackness in you. And you don't want to confront those things. You don't want to deal with that. You don't want to deal with what's in you. You want to try to straighten out what's in someone else. Well, you can't do that. You can't help your brother or your sister. You first get that trash out of you. You get the beam first out of your own eyes. Then you can see clearly how to get the beam. You can see clearly how to get the beam. You can see clearly how to get the beam. You can see clearly how to get the beam. You can see clearly how to get the notes. The small infraction that you perceive is major out of your brother or your sister. And because you cannot shenak, you cannot hear Yahweh, you're full of evil. You refuse to hear him. Now that's a profound statement when one refuses. You instruct someone and they refuse to do it. You can see it in there. They refuse to do it because they show their resistance. They show the stubbornness of their own mind and the firmness. I'm not going to do it. That's evil. That's evil. That's evil and it's wicked. It is a demented mind of depravity. It is a perverse, stupid, simple mind. And they refuse to shema, to hear my words. Well, how are they spoken? How does one possess the power of imuna unless, as Brother Patrick reminded us, there are gifts that Yahweh has given unto us to bring forth the excellence of his knowledge. It must be brought forth that way because that is how the power of his perfection or the oneness of him is manifested in us. That is the perfect Torah of Yahweh, that the power of his oneness is identified in us. He said, they refuse to hear me. They walk in their imagination of their love. They walk after these gods to serve them, and they actually worship them. He says, shall even the girdle, which is profitable for nothing. Now we understand the metaphorism of the word girdle, don't we? It is simply that our loins girded about with truth. We having on the breastplate of righteousness is a metaphor of faith. And we have our heart encased with the faith, the emunah of Yahweh. He said that faith is good for nothing. They have no emunah. They have no confidence in my word. Why? Because you must hear the word of Yahweh preach unto you that you may believe what you have seen in scripture to know that it is true. He says, so the girdle or the metaphor of their faith, it has no value. This is what we call the faith today. It is trash. This is what we call the ahava, the love of Yahweh. It is sad. That's why I say, don't love me with that. Don't even tell me you love me, because I don't want to hear that. It has no purity to it at all. You tell me Yahweh says that faith is unprofitable? It is not even profitable? If we were truly just and justified by His instructions, we live by His emunah. Then we don't live that way. We live by what we can perceptualize, what we can imagine, what we lust for, what we desire, what we crave for. We don't live by the faith of Yahweh. If you want to know how the faith of Yahweh, the emunah of Yahweh is, go to Abram, Hebrews chapter 11. You will see how that faith operates. Now, are we operating in that? Are we operating in that? You're not operating in that. You're operating in a false illusion. Why? You know why? Because you will not shenach. You will not hear the words of Yahweh. And that's why we are not operating in that realm. We will not hear, we will not shemak the words of Yahweh, and you cannot operate in that realm until you began to shemak, to perceive, to understand, to realize the reality of it, to let it become a lively hope, and you will never. And that's why the girdle that we have, our loins girded about with truth, and above our paps, having on the breastplate, you know the paps from here up. The breast of a woman from here up. So our paps, where our heart is, our paps with the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteous? How can you have a breastplate of righteousness if you don't know what righteousness is? How can your loins be girded about with the emunah of Yahweh if you have not heard? How can it be? Scripture will establish to us what is what we should have in our breastplate. What our breastplate should be. It will tell us that. And we need to find out what Scripture says. Oh, I will tell you today what Scripture says. And you will have no excuse at all. He said, this people, they are evil because they refuse to shemak my word. I want to read this for great emphasis. Look at Gilead, our Revelation, chapter 1, verse 13. I want you to see the metaphorism of this girdle, because as Yochanan saw the great manifestation of this great king that came by the dispensation of Yahweh, he says this in Gileadah chapter 1, verse 13. He says, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. And listen to this. And he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You'll see that. He was our faith when it's come through the trying and the pressures of tribulation. It shall come through as what? Pure gold. And this one had on this righteous loin cloth. He had the emunah of Yahweh. He trusted his Abba because he knew that he was the living word. And that's why you find with the African Hebrews, the Caucasians, they miss the whole boat. That's why there is no lively power in nothing that they say. Because the weightier issues, they never deal with that. They don't know Yahweh. And they cannot hear his word. So unless you have the emunah, and it comes by hearing, it's not coming by your daddy or your mama. is coming by hearing. You cannot refuse. You cannot be unwilling to receive Yahweh's instruction. His word is an instruction. Everything in the word of Yahweh instructs us. That's what it does. To do what? To please Him. It tells us how to please Him. It shows us how to do with examples. It shows us precious women that live faithfully. Shows us how husbands walk before Him to please Him. Wives, elderly sisters, elderly men. It shows that how children should walk and honor and how they should be disciplined. Because you will not hear the words of Yahweh, you have caused this depraved evil mind and this evil personality that refuses any kind of instruction. You are not even a fool. Even when a fool does something wise or speak wise, it is perceived that he has a little wisdom. We're a generation that's worse than a foolish generation. And so we see the metaphor or the manifestation of the power of this emuna of Yahweh and this golden pap about the girdle, or this golden girdle about the paps of HaMashiach. Unless he is the bedrock and the foundation of the living power of Torah in one's life, you have nothing. And it doesn't come by their pagan descriptions. That's why we walked in our Christianity, and it has not produced nothing but corruption after corruption. You can sing what you want to, because he says, you cannot refuse to hear my word. So how can a man refuse to keep the Shabbat and say he loves Yahweh? He's a pervert. When he knows what he has heard, he's a liar, and there's no love in him. How can a man know that that's his name and reject what he knows that's his name? He's a liar. He has no life in him. I will show you in scripture. Shaul says in Ephesians, look at this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. He tells you to stand. And when one stands, they do not make any irrational movement. When your mind is at shalom, it doesn't wander or wander when you are all in dismay, does it? When you are confused, your mind wander or it wanders to all kinds of things, doesn't it? But when is at shalom, there's a stability. They are stable. Their thoughts, how they process things, how they interpret things. But when you are a fool, have you ever been irrational, angry at someone? And every thought is so perverted, so construed. You can't think right. You can't respond right. Because you're a mad thing. There's one thing that the word of Yahweh does. It brings the shalom. It brings the perfect shalom. It brings comfort and confidence in what he speaks to one. And this is an irrational generation. Parents are today. They don't want to hear the word of Yahweh. They do things that satisfy the flesh. He tells you mothers and avats, you ima, how to bring your families up. He tells you mothers to teach your daughters to be reverent and how to become wise. You have taught them how to reject Yahweh's truth. You've taught them how to rebel. You've taught them how to be insensitive because you have been insensitive. You've taught them to lust and to love and to be greedy and to love greed and to say to hell with Yahweh, because that's what you say. Because there is no love to hear the truth of Yahweh. Am I talking to you? Why, sure I am. And especially you that get angry. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Shaul tells me to stand therefore, having your loins girt or prepared with truth. Now we must first of all find out what truth is. What is truth? Is not the righteousness of Yahweh from everlasting to everlasting? Is not his Torah the truth? So how do we get by the instructions of Yahweh and say that Yahweh's instruction, his counsel, his wisdom, his ordinance, his statutes are not valuable? This generation is evil. They will not receive the Torah of Yahweh, his instruction. So how can you have your loins girt about with any kind of truth unless you begin at the Bereshit? You must begin at the Bereshit, the beginning of Yahweh. You cannot. So begins having the Torah life in you. And without the power of HaMashiach in you, you have no Torah life. Anything that is alive is lively. If you're not lively, you're not alive. Period. Look to your neighbor and say, am I alive? Come on, turn to someone. Do what I say, turn to someone and say, am I alive? All right. Do you answer that question yourself? Oh, that changes the whole expression of your face, doesn't it? Before then, you were not alive. There's one thing that the word of Yahweh does when one hears it. It quickens and it makes them alive. And because we don't hear the word of Yahweh, it doesn't bring the testimony of HaMashiach alive. That's why we got these corruptors out here that deny the very legitimacy and the power of HaMashiach. He is not Yahweh. He came to direct us to the path to worship the Creator. HaMashiach was made. And the living word became life. And the word was made flesh. You can look at it any way you want to. That's it. He never tried to reduce the Abba. Even he himself will submit unto him when all things are finished. He will sit down and everything will be submitted unto Abba Yahweh. The only reason he had to do that because we couldn't hear him. So he had to send forth a living word. Don't you know the words that he spoke? They were alive as much as they were in that body of HaMashiach. It was truth. Period. And so if our loins are not girded, if it's not covered with truth, and the Torah teaches us how to deal with each other, how to live, how to honor, how to regard, it teaches us all those things. His mitzvahs tell us not to do wrong to our brothers, our sisters. They teach us two great principles. To love Abba Yahweh with all, everything we possess, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That is what the mitzvah of Yahweh teaches us. And the Torah, or the laws of that governing of Yahweh, brings us into perfect understanding how to deal with my brother if I tore down his fence, if I hit his car, if I did an infraction against him. It teaches me how to deal with my brother. And I take it before the law of the wicked for some kind of resolution. So the Torah teaches us what life is. How HaMashiach fulfills the power of the life in the Torah. He does not negate that. So stand having your loins girded about with truth. And then he tells us to have on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteous? Is Yahweh's words righteous? Is he from everlasting to everlasting? So that should be in the bosom of our heart continuously, the word of Yahweh. It should be at the pinnacle of our thought process every morning. It should be what everything springs forth from. Having our breastplate, having on the breastplate of righteousness, it is the righteousness of Yahweh that is an everlasting righteousness. So how does the word of Yahweh change? The righteousness of Yahweh is an everlasting righteousness, and His Torah, His law, is the Emet. It is the truth. How does that change? If it's everlasting, are we appointed to an everlasting kingdom? Will it ever change? Well, if that kingdom never changed, then how does the righteousness of Yahweh change? It is that everlasting righteousness, and that is why it should fill our bosom. It should fill our hearts. And the things that fill our hearts is hatred and malice, corruption, vileness, busybody, lying. Hallelujah. It is still the truth, whether you concur with it or not. It's truth. This people, are we His people? He said, this people is a ra, an evil, sadistic, driven by powers of darkness that drive them to harden their ear, shut their heart, their mind. They refuse to hear me. They are unwilling. You refuse to hear someone when they correct you, don't you? Hallelujah, Wayne. You refuse that. Children refuse to hear parents when they correct them. And your children. Your children. Isn't that amazing that we're not the children of Yahweh? I am. I'm a child. I'm a child of the kingdom. You see, our arrogance makes us think in our own imagination. I'm not a child, I'm a man. You're not. You don't even know what a man is. What are we before Yahweh? He will exalt a man. It's one thing that Yahweh does, he exalts a man. You don't have to worry about that. So we must have this everlasting righteousness of Yahweh, and the power of his truth is his ability to govern, to instruct, to teach, to show you his wisdom, his counsel, to manifest the power of his identity in us. And that is what he did in the living word of HaMashiach. That's what he did. So his Torah is his truth. It is his personality, his character, his identity, his love. It's what it is. And we reject Torah, we reject him. And this nation, it has refused to hear the words of Yahweh. They have taken out like the vain strives to hear what they want to hear and establish what they want to hear. Their pagan Sunday, their pagan holidays and their rituals, the festivities that deny and reject Yahweh. I don't find it difficult not participating in their activities. From their birthdays to their family reunions, that trash is not in me. From the anniversaries to whatever it is not of Yahweh. He gave us moeds that are valuable. They will keep great emphasis on those things. But when it comes to the moeds of Yahweh, they take no delight in doing that, do they? There's no great excitement. When it comes to a pagan form of celebration, you will see some jovialness. You will see some gleeness, some gladness. Look at my little boy. He's laughing because I gave him some perverted thing that twists his mind and destroys any kind of love of Yahweh. You think the world loves you? It's an evil world. The world is more sadistic than you because they cannot hear Yahweh. You simply refuse to hear him. They cannot hear Yahweh. You simply refuse to hear him. And so it's an evil world. Everything that they invent is to take your attention away from the power of the living word. And that's why you strive for the trinkets and the mess of this life that will not produce any kind of hope or any life at all. Let it all be damned, Yahweh. Let it all be damned. Is a fool to labor all his life for what? A piece of tin? I will not do that. I will work out my soul salvation with fear and trembling. I will work on that. And I'm free to do that. I'm free to work on that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there is no way that Yahweh would, I could have the liberty to speak like this if I wasn't free to do that. So I'm free to work on that. This people is evil because you refuse. You refuse to do what he said. You refuse. You refuse. You're arrogant, haughty, and you're going to fall. That is the truth. Whether you receive me or not, that's all right. He says, look in Jeremiah again. Jeremiah. I want to deal with scripture from Jeremiah, basically. He says in the 11th chapter, verse 10, that this is what they have done. He says, they are turned back to their iniquities or the iniquities of their forefathers. Now Yahweh gave them the Torah, did he not? He told them what to do and they turned away from that. They rejected what he said. He said, I will govern you. You have walked under the oppression of the government of Pharaoh. I will govern you. And he says, you're just like your forefathers. You walk in the iniquities, your Torah-lessness, your lawlessness, your refusal to hear me. Why? What does he say in the next five words? He says, they which do what? They what? They refuse to shema what? My what? He said they refuse to hear my words. You know, people will say they will keep, do not commit adultery. But when it comes to his name, they refuse that. They're unwilling. That's an evil people. And we want to justify them because of some association. I do not care if it's my daughter, my son, my mother, my father. Because he tells us, HaMashiach says, when we hear the word of Yahweh, when the word of Yahweh is spoken, do not
Walk in your imagination. Do not harden your heart as is in the days of provocation as they provoke Yahweh. It is to their damnation. It is to engraft, and it also cuts off too. In order to get fruit of a tree, you must prune it. You must cut it back. And Yahweh said, I'm cutting them off. I'm cutting them out. Well, I don't believe that. Then you're ignorant. Did he cut them out? He cut them out of the wilderness. By the tens of thousands, by the millions. He destroyed them. Why? Because they refuse. And evil people will always refuse. When you find how, you want to know how evil you are, find out how much you refuse. Unwilling is an unwillingness. If you establish something in you, you're unwilling to do anything. If you're unwilling to hear Yahweh, you're unwilling to receive anything. When one is willing, I don't care what it is, if they are willing. It was one thing that I learned in the military, that when I was willing to do things, I got the better assignment. When I was unwilling to do it, and when I was thrust into volunteerism, I got the worst assignment. When I would say, when they would say, who will volunteer? I said, I'll do it. And I will always get the better assignments because I would volunteer. Because there was a willingness. When one is unwillingness, it is a vile, sadistic power that's working in that one. I'm going to bring it home, all right? Not around the doorsteps. I'm bringing it home to the left, right? In the inward part. He said, they refused to shema my words, and they went after their gods to serve them. And he identifies them too. He said, the Beit of Yisrael and the Beit of Yehuda. Look what he says now. Have broken. They have desecrated. They have thrown down. They have defied. They have cast it aside. They have broken my agreement. His covenants. When a man goes out on his wife, he breaks the agreement of the covenant, doesn't he? When a man commits adultery, he breaks the agreement. When a woman commits adultery, she breaks the agreement, right? When a woman doesn't obey her husband like Yahweh says, she breaks the agreement. When a man doesn't love his wife like Yahweh says, he breaks the agreement. He said, you have broken my covenant. You have broken my agreement that I have with you. We have no consciousness of that, do we? We don't even think like that because our imaginations are so corrupt. Our hearts are so hardened against Yahweh. We don't even think in a capacity of reality. We think in foolishness and folly. You'd rather have something that is foolish than something that is good for you. We'd rather have a piece of chocolate cake and ice cream than something that is more healthy for us. I certainly would like to have a piece of chocolate cake and ice cream and a banana. I like that. We'd rather have something that is not nutritional or valuable because it shows what's actually in us. You began to eat nutritionally and eat the important, get the importance into it. You began to feel funny, your body, everything. Because it is a revolutionary change because it has to attack everything that is so corrupt in you. And that's what Yahweh has to do. And he begins in your own life. You like to begin with someone else. Well, she made me do it if she hadn't done that. And you murmur about them, but actually it's you. When you find someone murmuring, it's them. Did they murmur against Yahweh? Was it them? That's who it is. Because they have no ability to straighten themselves out. They can't see their weakness. When you find someone murmur, they're weak. You want to find someone that is truly weak. And has no strength. You find your murmurer. And you will find a weak, insensitive, little soft thing. I don't care who it is. You don't have to like it. That's all right. Hallelujah. As the old mother said, Pastor Roberts, not only do you tear down the altars, but I intend to set the fire of his truth to it as well. He said, you worship gods. You worship your little white god. Your little black god. Your little white pride. Your black pride. Full of filthiness. Well, I'm offended at that because that's what you're doing. So you've broken my covenant. You've broken my Torah. He says, which I have made with your avat. You have broken my constitution. You tell me that the word of Yahweh is not established forever. It's not an everlasting word. If he speaks, is it so? Did he make man? Did he breathe the breath in him? Would that be established, or is that truth 10,000 years from today? 10 millions? So his word is everlasting. It doesn't change one bit at all. We refuse to hear that because, well, we are a society that's not adequate. We are an ignorant society. We are evil. This people is evil because you refuse to hear. You absolutely refuse to hear Yahweh. You will not hear what he speaks to you. You refuse to hear. And if a man hears, if you train yourself ever to hear, you can understand things much more clearer. You don't have to ask so many questions. But because you have this spirit of refusal, you can't hear nothing no one say. Someone can tell you the same thing over and over. You refuse to hear it because there is that block in you that impedes you from hearing it. You can hear the truth of Yahweh over and over and you refuse to hear it. He can identify every fallacy and every corrupt thing and you still refuse to hear it. That's why you need ear to hear today. You need the perfect Torah of Yahweh. Brother Patrick brought that out and he gave gifts. My, to me alone when I think about that. That is just so profound and so uplifting that my Abba gave gifts unto men for me. That's a profound statement. No, I am much more ignorant than you. And so I take each word at a time. You look at the whole. No, I want to get the clarity of the picture. And so the only way I can understand that, I take each word. That's how ignorant I am. I'm not as smart as you in areas. I'm that ignorant. I must do it that way. I must. There are things that I learned in school about the seven parts of speech that I have to refresh myself over to understand what Yahweh is saying. You don't want to do that because we're lazy people. Say, help me, Yahweh. We're lazy. He said, you have broken my covenant which I gave unto your avach. Yahweh says now, I will show you what you are like. Do you not want Yahweh to show you what you're like? Do you want him to actually show you what you're like? He will show you your stupidity. Can I read this for you? Look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Turn back to chapter 8. He says this to us. He says, I will show you how ignorant you are, your inability, and I will compare you with those things that have the ability to hear my word. He says in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4. He says, moreover, I want you to say to them, to speak my Nabi, my prophet, the one that has my oracles, that speaks profoundly. I want you to speak to them. Now, I want you all to listen. Do you all hear me? Listen. He says, you speak to them. And you tell them, this says Yahweh. This is what I say. It is not what your daddy says. It's not what your mama says. It's what I say. Is that understandable there? It's easy to be understood, isn't it? He says, shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? What then is this? Do you see that? This people of Jerusalem, why have they slid back with a continuous backsliding? They hold fast to their Tomah, they hold fast to their deceit, and they love, and they refuse to what? Now what do they return to? They return to truth, to Torah living, and they refuse to return back to Yahweh. They express themselves as one unwilling. They say, I will not do it. I am not going to do it. They're full of their own deceit, and they hold fast to their religious deceit and their self-righteous deceit. They're you that sit here in your adamant, in your heart ways. You will justify your damnable wickedness regardless how you have been reproved. Because someone else is not proved in the same man of you. You think that makes you compare yourself with them. No, I compare myself to the word of Yahweh. I want that to be my strength and what straightens me. He said, you hold fast to your lying deception, your false ways, your torma, your lying deceived ways. When someone holds fast to something, that means that they grab hold to it and they don't allow it to escape them. When you hold fast to something, you secure that. I watched my grandmother as she would take money. She would fold the bills up. She would tie them in a handkerchief. And she would put them upon her breast. She always knew where the money was. And then she would put a pen there to secure the money. Because it was of great value. She held fast to that. She kept it by her bosom. Now, we don't hold fast to Yahweh's truth, but we do deceit like that. Well, how do we do it? We bottle it in our wicked hearts and our wicked attitudes and our disposition. We put it there. We hold fast to Granny. She held fast to that money because she knew that that was the staple of the family. And that's the staple of your corrupt and your vile, evil ways, whereby you refuse to hear Yahweh. They refuse His Torah. This world refused the Torah of Yahweh. His mitzvah, but that was for the Yadim. That's for the Jews, you perverts. He spoke to the people. He used a people to identify the supremacy of His power. And that if they walked under the auspice and were led by the leadership of Yahweh, that men would fear Yahweh and know that this one is the mighty living one. And they walked after their deceit. Like you. Like we have gone. Under their own corruption. They defile themselves. No one defiles you but you. You have defiled yourself. You can blame it on anyone you want to. But you have defiled yourself. You made your mind filthy. Your lies are what substantiate you. Your own deceit is not my lies. It's your lies. That is the truth. That's Torah instruction. Do good unto all men. As much as you have opportunity. Do good by him. Well, that's not good because I correct you. That's good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. He said they hold fast to their deceit and they refuse to return to what? Well, you must understand they refuse to return to his instruction, his covenant, his Torah. Verse 6. I listened and gave ear to them. Yahweh said, I listened to those people. I gave them my ear. But they did not speak right. Their heart was not right. They could not talk right. No man repented of his neighbor's wickedness. This people, and you did not repent of your wickedness. I despise when someone comes to me and they say, well, Pastor Roberts, I'm going to do right or I'm going to do this. And then they turn right around and do the very same thing 2 or 3 days or an hour later. That's not even a hypocrite. They haven't repented. When someone truly repents, you will never. As in the story of Annie of Green Gables, she said, once I do something once, and I learned that I don't do it again. There are nuances in those stories I listen to. I like to listen to them. It's not as much as what they convey. It's just a little thing that they say in there. He said, they will not repent of his, her wickedness, saying, that's what we say. What have I done? Tell me what I've done. Well, you say, I've done that. Tell me what I've done. You know you're wicked. A wise man receives instructions, periods. He hears it. And they say, what have we done, Yahweh? Everyone is turned to whose course? Now, so who turned you to your course? Did you turn you to your course or someone else did? You turned yourself to your course. How did you do that? By your own hardness, your own stubbornness to reject Torah, the mitzvahs of Yahweh. Everyone is turned to his own course. We see that in this nation today. This nation is so vile and evil. I'll be so glad when Yahweh brings it down. There's so many gods. There are gods beyond the imagination. They're family gods. They're issue gods. They love their gods. And these are the things that they serve and they live life for. He wants to live life for him. Let all children go to hell, wife and all. My life is hidden in HaMashiach. For him I live. For him I die. In him I have the fullness of my being. In Yahweh. I've been purchased with a price. Mama can't pay that price. Daddy can't either. Brother can't pay that price. But brother can strengthen me to understand the value of that price. What Brother Patrick did, that strengthened me to understand the value of the price. Not the calling, but the value of the price. Because without the price, there's no calling. So the most important thing is the value of the price. For he paid it all. And HaMashiach, the living power of that Torah is sufficient for everyone. He said, everyone, that means there are some that are not. He's talking to Jerusalem and Yehuda, isn't he? Did he mean what he said, everyone, in verse 6? Everyone is turned to his course like a horse rushing into the battle. You love the battle, don't you? You love to show people what's in you. You love to show your opposition. But in ignorance, propensity. You love to show them what's in you. You love to dispute. You like to show them. Well, show me, tell me. You have nothing. You see a wise person, they'll sit there and listen. And they understand every little nuance in that situation because it brings great life to them. They say, I can use that. Why? Because to the pure, all things are pure. But to those that are defiled and an unbelieving generation, there's nothing right. I don't care what you tell them. I don't care what you instruct that corrupt pervert in. You call me a pervert, if you fit that description, that's what you are. I don't care what you instruct them in. When you find a foolish, immature mentality like that, you're not even dealing with a moron. A beast has better sense than that. Why? Because Yahweh wants to show us something here. Look what he says in verse 7. Looking at the scripture, isn't it? He says emphatically, yes, the stalk in the Shemayans, they know her appointed time. Understanding, they acknowledge, they recognize, they know, they discern. And we're supposed to be human beings? He said, even the bird of the stalk, Yada knows her time. We are sad creatures, aren't we? That's what he said. He's showing them how ignorant they are. He's showing these people how wicked they are. He said, the stalk of the Shemayam knows Yada her appointed time. She knows. How does she know? By experience, by seasons, by climate, by change of time. She knows. When someone, Yada, there's an experience. And because you haven't had an experience in the word of Yahweh, because it has not been valuable to you, you don't know. The wicked, the evil man will do evil. And shall not, Yada, shall not understand. But it's one thing about the righteous man. Why? Because he understands that the righteousness of the Torah is everlasting. He understands his Yada both time, and he understands the judgment of Yahweh too. That's why he moves with fear. That's why he moves the way he does. Because he, Yada. He recognized by experiences. He recognized by the corrections of Yahweh, by the chastisement, by the instruction, by the Torah teachings. He recognized that. Because he hears what he says. And when we refuse to hear Yahweh, we will never recognize. Even the stork recognizes, it knows her appointed time. He says, the crane and the swallow, Shama, they observe. It's that's what Brother Pat brought to us on the night. They are watching. That's what they are. They keep. They understand what it does. It preserves them. They are protected. They are watching. Even they observe. They even observe. You tell me something that is beastly as a crane even observe. But this is what he says. Listen to this. He said the time of their coming or their end or their demise. Now this is what Yahweh says. They understand this. He said, but who? Are you my people of Yahweh? You sure that? He said, but my people, they yada not the mishpah, the judgment of Yahweh. They don't even discern. They can't even recognize. They don't even have any idea of the correction of Yahweh. That is what he does. He judges us to correct us. And his Torah judges us and corrects us. His mitzvot, they keep us in the pathway of righteousness. It shines the bright revelation of Yahweh's truth to us. But his people, you tell me a crane and something that is ugly as a crane, understand the time and season, but you tell me the people Yahweh don't understand judgment. He says, my people. He says, Jerusalem and Yehuda, they don't understand judgment.